There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On fourth down. Free runner, Owusu-Koramoah missed him. And Daniels has the first down and more. Down the sideline, it's first and goal.
Good morning, Metroplex. That's the call on Fox as we go around the rest of the NFC East and the NFL before back to the Cowboys on a Cowboys Monday. Wake up. Wake up. Y'all represented in this 6 a.m. club as I was hoping that that game last night was going to be postponed to today.
Do you have any idea how tense I was at the thought of Brandon Aubrey kicking the ball out of bounds or something with 20 seconds left and then forcing overtime and then having to stay there even later? I was so paranoid about that.
When did you start to realize that this weather was going to be a problem?
When Tim texted me and said, hey, can you go sit in the booth and talk with the guys? Because we're in the middle of network and we can't take any breaks. And so they got to just talk all the way. They had to talk for
an hour. Can't take any breaks.
They couldn't take it. They couldn't take any. They didn't have any advertisements built up. Like when you think about it, they don't have any ads built up. It's a network thing. So they don't have any ads for that. And the ads they do have built up are for the broadcast or for the game. And so they had to just talk for like an hour 20 straight, bouncing between me and Christy Scales.
Oh boy.
And so it was good though. But no, it was,
well, you started, I guarantee you guys did a better job than the people making millions of dollars on television, which I continue to say one of the most overpaid professions out there, because they were scrambling and desperate. I think they eventually settled down, but they were like, all right, let's go back to the same replay, the same three replays. Let's have Mike Florio FaceTiming with Jaden Daniels, and let's have Tony Dungy sit down with Mike Tomlin over and over and over. Rodney Harrison, you and the Collinsworth kid, you guys just take a break out there. We won't come to you for the 2 hours, which we're trying to fill time, and it'll be JGZ and the rest of them in studio just trying to wait until we're not going to go back and forth with Tirico and Collinsworth. We're just going to hold it down in the studio and scramble. Welcome to radio.
They probably couldn't, right, because of the lightning?
You know, that they could broadcast out of there?
I don't know. Maybe they're set up on the field. They had to be off the field.
Yeah,
I don't
but the Tirico and Collinsworth are in the booth.
Yeah, they could have gone to the booth.
I was more prepared for this than they were. I stayed up until 4 in the morning on Sunday intentionally so that I could sleep
through. You mean while partying with Wolchuk?
No. So I could sleep through. Oh. We can do that at 7:40.
Oh, we will.
So I could sleep through until noon. And so I was able to then sleep through till noon. So that way I knew, like, if we're going to have to roll straight into this show because it goes late with no sleep, then that way I won't be on 24 hours no sleep. So it's actually not been that long. I woke up at noon yesterday.
So what is the difference with the NFL canceling or postponing a game compared to baseball?
Baseball's got rules where the game can't start until after a certain time, like if they or an inning can't start. So if it gets to like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, they might at least they've changed the rule. It used to not be that way. It used to just play all the way through, but then they've changed the rule. I don't know what the NFL is. The NFL seems like they are getting the game in regardless.
Yeah,
yeah. They've had
like what's the latest they would have started that last night, and how late would it have had to go for them to be like, all right, we have to cancel.
So I was looking this up last night. I was trying to figure it out. There was a Tennessee Miami game a couple years ago. Little bit different, obviously, but that game started at noon. And due to two separate weather delays, that game ended at like 8:30 at night. And so they are totally willing to just say, nope, we're going to wait this one out. Now, their rules are lightning. You can't start a game until 30 minutes after the last lightning strike. And so I don't know what their vicinity is. I think it's, Chop, you were mentioning it yesterday. It may be something like 8 miles or something like along that. Those lines. This was one where they knew, though, it was a single line of storms that was going to blow through. And as soon as it blew through, they were fine. But it was moving so slowly.
The longest day of NFL football since the merger, 8:32 a.m. to 11:59 p.m.
A long day.
A long day of NFL football kicking off in London.
In fact, I'm looking at this now. I think the last time some of the instances of games being moved to another day where they're like, yeah, we can't finish this game today in recent history, DeMar Hamlin, 2016 Hall of Fame game when the turf was all torn up, COVID games, but otherwise it's not really happened in the last 30 years.
They didn't finish the DeMar game though, right?
Did they?
I don't think so.
I can't remember.
The Commanders are 4-1 for the first time since 2008, 31-6 over Cleveland. Jaden Daniels with that scramble you heard, a 50-yard bomb. The Browns at one point were 0-9 on third down. They're 21% on third down for the year. That by far is the worst in the NFL. But you said that the Commanders, they are the Texas Longhorns?
Well, from the standpoint that they haven't played anybody yet, and they'll prove their worth. They'll prove their worth at
already,
some point.
Already proven our worth. We've brought value to your cheap ass SEC. Trap.
Not yet. Don't fall for that yet.
I'm not falling. First of all, he's an idiot. I'm not falling for that anyway. I know he's trolling because he knows that this is, he's just an idiot.
But look, they're beating down these scrubs.
They are. That's the best thing you can say about them, right? Good teams win. Great teams cover. They're covering. Vegas is telling you they're a 7-point dog this week. Now it is Baltimore.
They're a 7-point dog.
They're a 7-point dog to Baltimore this week.
Oh, okay. And by the way, I just said 31-6. That was at one point in the game. It ended up being 34-13.
So going into this week, the combined records of their opponents this year has been 3-9. Of the teams they've beat, it's been 3-9. They lost to Tampa. That was their loss. But the teams they beat, their combined record was 3-9. Going into the afternoon games, it was 3-11. They got a little lucky. Giants win, Cardinals win, right? So now it's 5-11 is the combined record. Like I said, the scary part about that is, they're dismantling these teams. But what they are is they are a byproduct of the National Football League. The National Football League, this is what they do. They manufacture playoff teams. Not good teams, playoff teams with the schedule. The way the schedule breaks down, they manufacture these playoff teams. They do it every year. Every year there is one. I'm not saying they're not a good team. They're a solid team. They're looking like a playoff team, but they're not a contender. And that's the difference. They're only a game up in the Cowboys now in the division. Cowboys will beat them or split with them, whatever it is. I just got to see more. I'm not ready to say they're this great team because they're 4-1. I don't care about your record at 5 games in. You haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody yet.
I don't know if they're a great team. They are a great offense. You give that like that. They've established that. Are they a great team? I don't know. Is the defense going to be consistent enough? Are they going to be able to do other things? I don't know. They are the number one scoring team in the NFL right now. They are consistently beating teams in a number of different ways. They are frustrating the hell out of a bunch of different defensive schemes and concepts. And Jaden Daniels, when he is able to do some of the things he does with his legs and then create soft windows and make plays with his arm. And yesterday he made more plays down the field with his arm than he had in the previous weeks. When you're able to add that element and do those sort of things, That's a legitimately really good offense.
82 yards on the ground for Daniels. They ran for 215 as a team. McLaurin had 4 for 112 in the air. I am having them as my number one team in the NFC East right now. Deshaun Watson controversy on fourth down. Who wants to explain what actually happened?
Is this they wanted to go for it and he walked off the field?
Yes.
And people are saying that he quit on the team. I think there was just miscommunication there between him and his head coach.
Well, the Browns had 12 players in the huddle. That's actually what happened. They had already burned a timeout. Watson knew they weren't going to burn the second one, but then you still had the uneasiness and the looks between Stefanski and his quarterback.
Yeah, and it's the gesturing, and it's kind of the shrugging, and where Stefanski's like, what's going on here? And so you've got body language that you're trying to read, and it's not always been great, the body language from Deshaun Watson. So it's easy, I think, to...
But the media... Sure. They messed up the story.
They jumped ahead of it. They jumped for sure. It. Yeah. I loved seeing it. I jumped ahead of it. But it is something where I don't know that... There was somebody said something really sarcastic the other day of like, I would take 100 XFL college NFL quarterbacks right now. I could find 100 over Deshaun Watson. I'm like, that's an exaggeration. But then I thought about it. I think I might find 50.
Over Deshaun.
I might find 50 quarterbacks that I think could lead the Browns better right now than him.
They were talking about that on NBC on the during the rain delay.
That you have to change it.
Got
to
change. They all agreed.
Stefanski said afterwards, we are not changing quarterbacks.
That's sunk cost fallacy. Like you're already dug in, and so you're going, we got to do it.
Meanwhile, other game in the NFC East.
This to tie the game at 23, and it's blocked! Isaiah Simmons! And picked up by Bryce Ford! And he is going to go! The Giants sideline erupts! Unbelievable!
CBS with the call as the New York Giants making the Cowboys look a little bit better with that win in New York. They go into Seattle, survive a 99-yard Seahawk return, and the Giants win 29-20.
This was an interesting situation for Seattle because, I mean, they were... So they're right neck and neck with Detroit last week, and they come home. You're going to play a team. They're a full touchdown favorite, 7-point favorite, and they blow this one. They don't. Not only do they not cover
with no neighbors,
Darius, and they lose by two scores.
Darius Slayton had 8 for 122. Neighbors out with that concussion. Who is Tyrone Tracy? 18 for 129 on the ground, 7.2 a carry.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy, not a bad little running back, is he? He looks pretty impressive from the Tony Pollard mold, a guy who was a wide receiver, transferred to Purdue, became a running back, and had success over there. Tyrone Tracy is somebody you very well might have picked if you hadn't traded your fourth round pick for Trey Lance. And so that was somebody that they picked out of Purdue. That would have been somebody that was on the Cowboys list of guys that they were considering had a back been there, and he didn't, and he ends up with the New York Giants, and that's obviously an incredibly frustrating fact.
In the long run, really bad win for the Giants. That's what's going to sting. Right now, I'm already monitoring them for Team Tank. Stay away from that high number one draft pick, number one, number two, number three. So this will end up being a loss. Great for Daboll, whatever for Daniel Jones. It's going to end up hurting them.
I heard this yesterday on Red Zone. Out of the four afternoon games that were played, there were 5 defensive and special teams touchdowns scored. Each game had at least one. And so we had 2 block kick returns. You had a couple interception returns. Each game in the afternoons had some sort of play in there that was a big one. And so it was a very bizarre day from the front of just defensive and special teams touchdowns.
That win, you mentioned the draft pick, dropped them from the 6th pick to... the 14th.
Yep.
They still might get a quarterback. They still might be able to get a quarterback at 14.
Every time I turn away from San Francisco, something crazy happens. Unfortunately, it's crazy bad for them.
Feel like you're in a good position. A lot of time right now.
Let's talk again.
Purdy, Jeff, floating up there. And it's picked off. Kaiser White grabs it in midair. And the Cardinals are going to hang on and win this game.
Brady and Burkhart with a call on Fox. Whoa, what?
I don't know.
Arizona outscores San Fran 14-0 in the second half, and they beat the 49ers in Cali 24-23. San Fran 2-3, Arizona 2-3.
Imagine if this of all years, this Cowboys team is the one that goes into Santa Clara and beats the 49ers. The 49ers are clearly a better team than the Cowboys. Like, if you just look at how these games have played out in terms of San Francisco has pretty much been in control of every game that they've played this year. Yeah. They've just blown them.
Right.
And it's so, I don't know what their deal is. If they're in some sort of weird Super Bowl hangover, if there was some sort of distraction from Ayuk, if there's any distraction about what's going to happen with Purdy moving forward.
Ayuk balled out yesterday.
There's something not clicking with that team right now in big moments.
Dude, I mean, I had a minus 6.5. And they have the ball. They're up 23-21. Again, with the ball. Late in the fourth quarter. Inside the 10-yard line. And then I look up it's 24-23. And the fumble. Game's over.
Yeah.
And they have the fumble. And I'm like, how does that happen? By the way, Kyler Murray, to give the I'm gone peace sign 45 yards out is so wild.
The commercial-free expressway is next for your big fat football breakfast sandwich. What grade do you actually give Dak Prescott for last night's game and the rest of your star up, star down, your Cowboys report card to celebrate the win in Pittsburgh on a Cowboys Monday next on Sean and Art.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
RJ.
Third and 14. At the 20, Prescott is back. He has time. He goes deep to the right side for Lamb. At around the 47, he caught the ball.
What happened, not with that call, what happened between Dak and CeeDee Lamb yesterday? What was up with Zeke's shoulder pregame? Fortunately, we have a Cowboys insider that travels with zero sleep on the return flight back. That would be Bobby Belt. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, and we got Chris Strong in for Pepe for a Cowboys Monday. This is the Commercial Free Expressway, and hit us up with a text. We'll get back to calls at 8. Marty Smith from ESPN, which we're really excited about, at 8:20, and I'll take you to my weekend with Vanderbilt here in Best and Worst of the Weekend. But the Cowboys get a late night win, 20-17. Star Down is also brought to you. We got to do the good and the bad. We've done nothing but good so far. Star Down is brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL. But I haven't seen headlines or stories on it, Bob. What happened with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb on the sideline?
So there was the viral clip of CeeDee just mouthing something, and everybody was trying to figure out, okay, what exactly is he saying? You couldn't tell if he was mad or if he was just saying something, but Dak does not look up at him at all.
No.
Whenever he says whatever it is that he says. But when we asked him post-game, what was it about? He said, I was telling him, just throw me a jump ball.
Okay.
Like it was just communicating, like, hey, if you need it, when we're looking at that play, go ahead, throw me a jump ball. I'm going to come down with it. And so what it's been determined he's saying is jump ball four. Jump ball, I got you.
Good job by the Tolo lip readers, because that was the number one answer I got back in response was jump ball.
Interesting. Like everything online said subpar throw. There were articles written.
Okay, if you think CeeDee Lamb or a football player on the sidelines going, subpar.
Nobody.
Subpar, yeah, you're an idiot. That's the
thing. There's not a single
subpar. This isn't a game between Harvard and Brown.
Yeah. This is not, they're not saying subpar, but that was the number one thing I saw on social media was subpar throw, subpar Dak. I mean, shoot, there are Sporting News even wrote an article on it about subpar. And it just, what we knew it wasn't subpar.
So who's the blame on the play? What happened?
So given what we know, I mean, I just think it was Dak. Like, there are a lot of people who think CeeDee needs to come back to the ball or that it could have been miscommunication. They're not really clear about if that was an aspect of it. CeeDee says, just throw me the jump ball, I got it. So it's unclear if it was just a technique thing or if it was a misread or miscommunication. But I'm sure we'll hear more about that today when they start, you know, getting back into the building and doing some different things. But last night, it was just kind of like, yeah, we just got to be more on the same page. And kind of that to me looked like a bad throw from Dak. Even if CeeDee's coming back to the ball, I don't think it's there. And so I don't think you should throw that ball in general. So to me, that was just bad on Dak.
Can't throw it there. Cannot throw that.
But they're good. There's nothing underlying.
Nope. They're 100% good.
They are.
Yep. They were cutting it up on. They were
every week.
No, I mean, they were. Look, I mean, it's like, for instance, I'll draw an analogy. People may think that you and I, Sean, have a CeeDee Dak relationship. And we do, in that sometimes there is frustration of get your head out of your ass or do this or do that. Like, there is that kind of thing. But, like, we've never not been good, really.
Yeah.
And same sort of thing. I think they're intense. They're competitors. That's the way their relationship is, and they talk through things. But I don't think they've really ever not been good. I think they've always been good with each other.
Even with the mom involved and everything. Yeah.
That's obviously awkward and weird, and it's like CeeDee said to Micah at the Super Bowl, where he's like, obviously I saw what my mom said, but she doesn't represent my thoughts on it. It's the way family members act whenever you've got their kid playing
the
game.
It's very one-sided, though, with Dak and CeeDee. It's always CeeDee.
Always CeeDee what?
Jawing at Dak.
I don't. But again, that's not...
Maybe we see it the other way. We don't see the other side. But, and maybe Dak does it in a different way, right? Maybe Dak is not as, you know, demonstrative with it.
I mean, Dak last year on the San Francisco sideline was very... I mean, CeeDee was the one who had a lot of the bad body language. But last year, Dak at one point had gone like, oh, very good, and like clap, and was being sarcastic. And so they have that. It's all healthy in the way that they do it. Or it's to a healthy end, and it's just the way they communicate with each other.
At a minimum, that interception played into at least 9 points that the Cowboys left off the board. 9 points in that game with the end zone interception, the blocked field goal that I think was going left as I texted you guys. And then they came back, Tirico and Collinsworth, and they're like, upon further review, we think he shanked it and that thing was going to miss anyway. But to that end, I got in a dispute. I want you guys to tell me I'm right, of course. But I got in a dispute with my brother last night. Now, he was extra ticked because he took the Cowboys. He didn't listen to RJ Choppy the Degenerate, how to take away the hook or get the hook, whatever it is. He got Cowboys plus 3.5, so he's extra ticked off with them winning by 3. But he's like, you guys are so lucky. He's texting me at halftime. Cowboys are so lucky. And I said, for what? I said, this should be the Cowboys by double digits right now. They should be winning the game by more. The Steelers are the lucky ones. And he's like, no, you're lucky that they're not making you pay more after all the mistakes you're making. I'm like, they've done nothing to threaten. The Pittsburgh has done absolutely zip zero. The Cowboys should definitely be more up in this game. The Steelers are lucky it's not more lopsided on the scoreboard. Who do you side with?
I'm going to side with you that it was a lucky thing for the Steelers that they were in that. Because, I mean, I thought the second interception was three.
This music today, though, Chris, I feel like I need to get...
Turn this up. I can't hear. What is this?
Oh, he's doing it for everything. I feel like I need to get a pipe.
It's mellow sounds.
Do you play like in a coffee shop? Just go show up at a coffee shop and just play music?
Yeah, I was a barista before this job.
Were you?
Yeah.
What drink did you hate people ordering?
Man, any Frappuccino. So like you have to like mix it up. You have to freeze it. It's terrible.
I got in a Starbucks fight with my wife over the weekend. I'll have to save it for another day over a Frappuccino.
That's all I ever order are the Frappuccinos. So I would be hated.
Are all Frappuccinos cold?
Yes, freezing.
Yeah.
Frozen.
The customers would say, can I have a hot Frappuccino, though? And it would ruin your day.
All right, so, I think that Pittsburgh was the one that was more fortunate to be in that position. I think the second interception from Dak, that one, that's three parts, kind of a throw Dak shouldn't make. I'd like to see Tolbert a little more aggressive towards the ball. And also, I thought a good play by the Steelers defensive back. So it all kind of came together. But no, in large part, when you are doubling them up on yards and getting to the red zone and moving the ball down the field the way you are, it should be a bigger gap. And that's why I had an issue with you won, but it shouldn't have come down to that. You should have been up big in this game.
I'm struggling with what to think here because if they play the same game next week against Detroit and they turn it over three times in the red zone, they're going to lose that game by 14.
Yeah, but they're not playing the Lions.
But they're not, right. So that's why I think the Cowboys might be lucky. Now, not in this game. In this game, the Steelers...
Well, that's what we're talking about, this game.
Well, yeah, but like what I'm saying, if they're playing any other team, the Cowboys would be getting run. So from that standpoint, yeah, they're lucky to be in this game. The Cowboys were lucky to be in.
They got a luck of the draw to like in terms of who the opponent is. But within the game, Pittsburgh should have had the doors blown off. They were only competitive. I mean, when Arthur Smith is, you saw how stubbornly committed to the run he is. This dude is throwing toss sweeps on 3rd and 9 on the Pittsburgh side of the Dallas side of the field. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, the Cowboy fans are mad at 3rd and 16 run. Arthur Smith is doing that on 3rd and 6, on 3rd and 9. They had 89 yards of offense in the first half on 30 plays.
Ooh.
Fifth game without a first half touchdown. They're putrid offense. They're unwatchable. It's torture having to watch them play, and it has been for years.
Now, the other thing that happened yesterday, there were at least two instances I can think of where Justin Fields had three passes dropped. Two of them were by his own receivers. One of them was by Malik Hooker, where guys are just letting balls hit him directly in the hand and then dropping them and not making plays. And so that was a little unfortunate for him.
Can we give Dak? Is it impossible to give Dak a grade for this game?
Impossible, yeah, because, I mean, he had a really good end of the game. And, you know, prior to that, he was, I mean, you could not have given him more than a C-.
You fail the whole year and then you ace your final exam.
Yeah, that's what he did. I mean, this is probably, if I had to grade his game, C+.
Okay.
Right? Because you got a grade on a curve, right? And QBR grades on a curve, right? In fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They
have a proprietary formula. They don't tell you everything that's involved with it. But yeah, I'm just fluctuating my head between C+ and B-, because he was really good for most of the game. But his bad was bad. The intentional grounding on third and one was bad.
Boy, I'll tell you, what the hell did you bring in Zeke back for? That's a perfect third and one. That's a perfect time to run the football.
The grounding was bad. The throw to Tolbert looked bad. If they don't, the third down.
Did he hang on to the ball too long in that fumble as well?
Yeah, that was on him. That was on him. That was a sack that was on him. His interceptions were not great. If Tolbert does not catch that fourth down play, we are coming in here reaming him for why the hell did CeeDee Lamb get zero targets in the red zone in a crunch time moment?
And zero catches in the second half.
Yeah, up until did he have one on the final drive, I think? I think he may have caught one pass on the final drive for like 4 yards or something.
Oh, I thought it was I think it may have been one. I thought it was nine.
I can't remember, but I know deep into the fourth he had none. He may have caught one more, but I don't know. But it was they have basically CeeDee, who was so good in the second half of games last year. So far this year, it's been pretty much everything in the first quarter. I was talking to Nick Harris yesterday. I think Nick said in the second half of games this year, CeeDee's like four catches for 30 yards. It's nothing.
Speaking of Zeke.
Second and 10 at their own 43. Dak to Lamb for nine on a second and 10. So set up a third and one.
Okay.
And that was it on that final drive.
One catch in the second half. Speaking of Zeke, how about the pregame video of him trying to put on the shoulder pads and then quickly rejecting them with what looked to be some type of upper body pain? And people are like, damn, Dalvin Cook still can't play over this.
Some kind of shoulder stinger or any kind of pain. And look, these football players go through so much pain anyway. It wouldn't surprise me a running back would have shoulder issues. But if you can't get your shoulder pads on, that is not a good sign for the game.
When did he hurt it? Like, when has he been on the field in the last 2 weeks to hurt it? But I mean, like, he's
in the injury report?
I don't think he was. I mean, he was kind of, again, you get to 5 weeks into the season, especially coming off of a tight week. Mm-hmm. You come off of Baltimore, then the Giants back-to-back. This is around the time you're going to start seeing guys pop up with those, like, bumps and bruises, just like, I'm in general pain. But he seemed completely fine post-game last night, was in a good mood. It was funny, he got asked, like, how'd you kill the near 90? They were like, what'd you do for 90 minutes? And he's like, what do you mean, what'd I do for 90 minutes? And they're like, before the game, the delay in the game. He's like, was it 90 minutes? Were we that delayed starting the game? He's like, I honestly thought it was like 30 minutes. He's like, I didn't realize it was that long. But he's like, no, I was good. I was just in here warming up, getting ready.
What else is on your list of star downs brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL?
Star down to... I'll get the real star downs out of the way first. Star down to Zach Martin. Zach Martin in the first half specifically, and again, maybe I'll do post-hut clarity and feel differently about it, but Zach Martin was getting worked over by the Steelers defensive line in the first quarter. There were several different times where I noticed it. I give a star down to Tyler Guyton before he got hurt. He was not playing well. I don't know how the updated penalties went yesterday throughout the league, but I believe Guyton is not accepted, but throwing flags. I think he's second in the NFL for most flags drawn in the NFL this year. But then you got to give a star down, Sean, to Mike McCarthy's awful challenge of the fumble recovery. Because what that did was it left you without a timeout when the Steelers ran the ball on third and nine, as they did about a dozen times yesterday. When they ran the ball on third and nine from deep in their own end and prevented you from getting a punt back to probably midfield with 45 seconds left in the first half. And then that sets you up to where you left points off the board. You turned the ball over there. That was an issue. But you would have had an opportunity to do that if you didn't go for a challenge that you were never winning. I don't know. That maybe needs to be a question for Sue. Who's in your ear telling you to challenge? Like, which person is that giving you that advice?
Yep.
Because whoever did that gave awful advice. And I've got to look up and see what his challenge record is. I think Mike McCarthy's got to have one of the lower challenge records in the NFL.
I don't have a problem with coaches challenging because like you said, I mean, they're getting that information from somebody else. I have no idea what they're seeing in the stadium on the Jumbotron, especially on the road. The head coach only has they have literally just the guy in their ear to go on, and it's got to be done in they got 15 seconds, 20 seconds to challenge this thing. And if it's not shown in the Jumbotron, you can't see it for yourself. And if maybe it's a bad Jumbotron, you're relying on that guy who I assume is a former referee. I know it was was it Baltimore or the Rams? They got somebody, their replay official is a former ref.
Okay.
That's the guy that's telling them whether to challenge it or not.
This can't be right. What I'm looking at from Pro Football Reference, that McCarthy challenged one call last year. There's no way that was just one challenge.
Seems low.
All right. Does the play from Tyrus Wheat deserve a star down? Was that a dirty hit on Fields or not? That sparked them with Kyle Allen coming in. He completes a nice pass, and then Fields comes back and completes four passes. Hayward ends up with the 16-yard touchdown. I'm leaning towards Tyrus Wheat with a clean hit on Fields.
I did not. So it's crazy, and I posted this on social media. Like, the more I looked at that in slow motion, the more I thought it was the right call, and the more I also thought it was a totally clean hit all at the same time. Because you could see, you could obviously see in real time, it did not look like his helmet hit him under the chin. As it slowed down, you could see the helmet hit on the lower part of the face mask under the chin.
You could?
You could, yes. But that is not what made contact first. It was shoulder to body. And then everything else kind of went in after that. I would not have flagged that. I thought it was the wrong call.
I understand why they did it live.
Yes.
You just assume it's going to hit the helmet. Bobby?
So, no, it's not a dirty hit. He's leading with his shoulders, trying to hit with his shoulder, and I was just watching it back. The only reason his helmet even makes contact underneath Fields' chin is because Fields' offhand hits his face mask, and it changes the it bumps his helmet into his chin. He wasn't going with his helmet at all, and if it's not for, not that it's Fields' fault, it was an incidental thing, but if not for Fields' hand like crossing his face mask with the offhand, I don't think his helmet even touches him. It was a bang bang kind of thing.
I noticed Tyrus Wheat a couple times. I'm interested in post-hot clarity tomorrow at 7:20. Bobby rewatching if he gets a possible star up. But that was, man, what a perfect hit.
Yeah, it was.
Holy crap. That he'd destroy Justin Fields. And they had the Buffalo Bills team doctors because he was out there after just one play.
It was two.
Miami.
It was two plays. Almost should have left Kyle Allen in there. The way he just came in and fired a strike, he looked great.
Back to your Cowboy calls at 8 o'clock. Marty Smith from ESPN all over the college football scene, and that is going to start off our best and worst of the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Let us know what you did, what you got into, how much trouble there was at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. That'll be the number for Cowboy phone calls at 8 o'clock. And we start with this.
Pavia keeps it. Pavia picks up the first down, and the unlikeliest of heroes has guided Vanderbilt to what will be its first ever win against number one.
I chose correctly. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because me being the human jinx that I am, normally I would have made the wrong decision, go to Vanderbilt versus Texas in Nashville, and miss the greatest win in school history for the Vanderbilt Commodores, as I went with the wife along with my best friend, godson, playing number 82 on Vandy, and saw history made flying out after the show on Friday. Can't top that.
No.
Cannot top that.
You cannot. What was the percentage of Bama to Vandy?
70-30
Bama?
Yeah. So on the other side of the field, it was all red. And then you had this portion as the Vanderbilt student section.
Yeah.
And then behind us was probably all Vandy. And then the other two-thirds of the bleachers was all Bama. But I will say this. Meet Church Matt Pittman was correct. And I said, give me a Bama preview, these fans. He goes, really nice. Because I tried. Because I have an all-time trash talk game if I turn it on. With the alcohol and a reason to brag, I can turn it on. And I tried to give it to these Bama fans. And my wife begged me to shut up. I walked right back to the hotel, screaming, yelling, Roll Tide to everyone. I was trying to give the verbal middle finger to every Alabama fan. And, you know, I couldn't. They wouldn't react. In the elevator, I just stopped because in the elevator, they're like, nice win. Nice win. We've had ours. We've won a lot. We've won enough. And I was like, what the heck? Come on, react. React. And I couldn't get them to react, but it was 70-30 Bama.
That is a Southern thing right there. They're not reacting. They're not gonna react. Because they don't I'll say this for that. They wouldn't do it in reverse. They wouldn't talk trash like that in reverse.
There was a little kid, it was like this, probably like this 16-year-old. And I turned around and he was just sitting there like this. He was probably like 20 rows up, and I just kept staring at him till I finally made the eye contact. And me and my buddy, we're like talking trash to him, and he like is looking like his dog just died. And then he eventually just cracked a smile, like shaking his head left, right. And I'm like, come on, man, let's go. And it was not happening. They were very nice, very pleasant. But we flew out Friday and tailgated on Saturday. And my Lord, I need you to do all your draft. Well, I don't know. He's not going to get drafted, but pretend he's going to get drafted in the sixth or seventh round on the family of the quarterback, Diego Pavia or Pavia, because we were with his family. And my God, Amanda has some theories as to what that family does or where they come from. Out of New Mexico, I thought it was the SEC Network that was filming us the whole time with this scene. It was, as Diego said in the post, it was turnt. It was insane. There were substances. There were drinks. They had their own DJ. And it turns out it was not the SEC Network. It turns out it was their own film crew. The mom was dressing the part like a SEC, an SEC fangirl out there. Shout out to Tasha Dallas Tolo with her kid on the team. But yo, it was a sight. My wife was in awe, jaw on the ground with the Pavia family, rolled 60 deep for their kid, who's a dog. He's a college football dog, undersized, coming over from New Mexico, just a gamer. That's what he is. And I tried to find their offensive coordinator on the field afterwards when we stormed the field to tell him, this is your Belichick Buffalo Bills moment with this offensive game plan that you called, with not being scared in the right moments, the fourth down bomb that they threw, the third down conversions, knowing when to throw, knowing when to run, not risking anything too crazy, the brilliant time of possession, managed the game. This was no fluke. This was no bounce of a ball. This was 42 minutes of possession for Vanderbilt. They went up 14-0 and just trying to hold out to storm the field and go down there. It was, it's an all-time memory.
You obviously did not head into this game thinking Vanderbilt was going to win.
Right. I thought they maybe could cover.
What?
It was like a 22-point spread.
22-23.
At what point in this game did you think it's at least possible they could win this game? And at what point did you think they're going to win this game? Did you not think they were going to win it until it was like game over?
And not till like the final Bama drive was done.
Okay.
You know, because like Milroe's still making big time throws down the field. And you don't want to jinx anything. I wasn't trying to say anything. Look, I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about resuscitating my wife. My wife, this lame old woman that I married, I had to talk her out of leaving the game at halftime. She's so dead.
She wanted to beat the traffic. Oh,
no, well, our hotel, thank goodness. By the way, Nashville, I understand why everyone loves and moves to Nashville. Airport's 15 minutes away. Everything is within 20 minutes. It's a 90-minute flight. It was a pleasure. I was home yesterday at 1 p.m. for the games, and I didn't have to wake up at 6 or 7 a.m. Everything is so close. Our hotel was right there on the Vanderbilt campus next to the stadium. Whoa. Crappy stadium, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's not a real stadium.
Crappy stadium. But my wife is like, now we started partying and tailgating at like 10, right? The game was at 3:15. Mm-hmm. So we're going hard. And she's like, I need to go back to the room and sleep. She's like, I just give me the hotel key and let me go back. She wanted to bail. And I'm like, you are not leaving. They can win and you're going on the field. And my wife, she's so paranoid, like driving with her in the car. She's getting better, sweetheart, if you're listening. But everything is an accident waiting to happen. Like, my child's not going to play sports, no rides. And she's definitely not going to be, talked down to going on the field. That's for damn sure. And eventually I got her to stay. And she was down on the field before I was,
right,
as they brought down the goalposts.
Did you have to make sure to hand her a few drinks before you could successfully walk her down, though? Or before you could get her to say, all right, I'm going on the field?
Yeah, yeah. I went. I'm like getting her food. I'm like trying to get her the right type of drink. As she's sitting down in the bleachers, as all the rest of us are standing up, I'm just like, you can do it. You can do it, Mom.
I wondered when you were popping up on TV. I was like, why is Amanda not in any of these shots?
Because she was on the floor.
That's because she was sitting.
Was this your first time rushing a field?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
An orderly single file line. Yes.
Yes. Look, man, I'm free at 42 years old. All I cared about was getting that girl on the field. We're not going to be the first three rows or four rows. Let the kids rush down there. As long as my wife was going to go down. Now, my boy Jake, whose son plays on the team, Bryson, number 82 tight end, he left all of us, left his wife and family, and he got down there in the mix. As you saw him beyond, behind the quarterback with the interview that went viral, this is Pavia, the quarterback, dropping the bombs on national TV.
God gave me a vision when I was a little kid, and he don't let back any promises. It's God's time. Like, I'm super thankful for guys like Eli Stowers. Man, that kid's incredible. The ref parts, look at this. Daddy, we're turned.
To the right of him in every single shot, that's my boy Jake, who got into the post-game interview somehow, some way, jumping like he actually played.
Had to be in it. He had to be in it.
He had to be in it. He was down there early, but Bobby and Simtola's got one of the shots. I mean, my mouth was agape on television. Like, oh, my God. I think it was the fourth down touchdown bomb.
That's the
Which Amanda was in the bathroom for. She came back. She's like, I heard an explosion. Like, what was that? I was like, that was the crowd, dear. That's what happens at a big-time sporting event.
Yeah. That look you gave, that's the look a girl gives when she sees 10 inches. That's look.
I don't know what that means.
It's like, oh, whoa, what
I mean,
was that?
Look at what this is. I mean, they never have beaten a top five team
ever.
Ever.
No, they're it's a
stepchild.
It's a great. You could not write this script of this game. Bama just took over the number one team in the nation.
Yep.
They had just beat Georgia. There's no rhyme or reason to this. There's no rhyme or reason of how Vanderbilt could remotely have been not win the game, in the game.
First time an AP number one lost at least a three touchdown favorite since 08 when USC lost to Oregon State as a 25 point favorite.
Who was the running back that day for Oregon State? Atlanta Falcons.
That would be TJ Duckett.
Jaquizz Rodgers.
Oh, no. Yeah. Jaquizz Rodgers. That was my next guest.
So we went down there on the field, and then they get up on the goalposts. They bring the goalposts down, and they walk it out of the stadium.
3 miles to the Cumberland River.
3 miles down Broadway, the Bourbon Street of Nashville. They toss that mofo in the river, and they end up getting fined $100,000 by the SEC for storming the field as they took the goalpost down. And also, as soon as the game ended, I saw Nick Saban on the big screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what the heck is this? Why is Nick Saban up there on the big screen? And this was Saban a few weeks ago on McAfee talking about playing at Vanderbilt.
But the only place you play in the SEC that's not hard to play is Vanderbilt. Because when you play at Vanderbilt, you have more fans yep. there than they have. And that's no disrespect to them. It's not, just, it's just the truth.
I mean,
he's not wrong.
It is. He's not wrong.
It's, yeah, but you also can't say that's no disrespect to that. I mean, it kind of
it
is.
It kind of is. Not to the players. It's more to the fan base. They don't have a fan base.
Oh, no. The fans, they were weak. I mean, I was sitting there as a nut job. Like, I was a college freshman. Like, get up. Like, turning around. Like, get the hell up. It's third down. It's like I was at a Ranger game.
Yeah. I
was like, these are some Dallas fans right here.
It's they're very similar to Rice. You know, like the fans, they go to Vandy, and then their heads of state. They're not staying in Nashville working at Bank of America. You know, these are people going on working in the big city or overseas. Like, they're just heads of companies and conglomerates. Like, that's who goes to Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And Jay Cutler.
And Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
And Jay Cutler. So there it is.
I mean, they lost to Georgia State. And they go and beat Bama. It's just a crazy, crazy turn.
But they should have. I knew Missouri was a fraud.
Yeah.
Missouri, they should have beat Missouri. Missouri got smoked by A&M on Saturday. They beat Virginia Tech to start off the season. That could be your win of the year sure. when you're a program like Vanderbilt. But we stayed up in the team hotel, running into a former TCU coach in the elevator. So it was fantastic. In, out. Back here, and from little old Cambridge, Maryland, to beating the number one team in the country. He's not getting the playing time that he wants, and he's not going to when they're playing like this. They're not just going to throw out, you know, a kid down on the depth chart. He also missed 4 weeks with a collarbone, but he did get on the field for a third down play. He was out there. He was living life high as a kite. Obviously, all-time memory, and thank goodness I picked this over the Texas game.
Well, look, the injury set him back, but I did. I was searching around Twitter when the game was on. I was sitting there on the flight, and I was trying to see, like, okay, is he supposed to play today? And so I was, like, I was searching his name. And I did come across a note from last week from the Vanderbilt reporter where his name was thrown in along with, like, three or four other people from the head coach of he's one of the most improved players we've had since spring. So
okay,
he's making his little dent there. But I told you, Alabama's fraudulent. And if you wanted to see a win, go see Alabama play
Vanderbilt. All right, so let's get into... I'll save it. We need more than 2 minutes for you guys to fight.
There's no fight.
You mean for him to troll?
You're storming the field experiences or memories. That's what I want on the fan text and from you guys. Has it ever happened? When did it happen?
One time for football, one time for basketball. Basketball was...
Shamika Hoskla?
No. We beat Wally Zerbiak in Miami of Ohio. We were a bad team. Charles Hathaway with the tip in at the buzzer rushed the floor. There was maybe a dozen of us out there. That's how many people went to that game that day. Football, it was one time. It was Florida. 98. We won the championship that year. And they were number two. We were like 10, something like that. And we won on a missed field goal in overtime. And we hadn't beaten Florida forever. Rushed the field. And the whole stadium was on there. I lost a Birkenstock that day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So here I am walking home. One foot. I got a Birk on. The other foot, barefoot.
What was yours? It was great. Tarleton State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was when Tarleton went and took out that that bastard child of the Colorado River, the Grand Canyon, and just slapped them around. That was the one time. But it got a little, everybody was like nuts, going nuts. That was an intense crowd.
I'm just glad we didn't have a Tennessee Volunteer incident with your big fella throwing a dude into that girl that went viral.
Hey, listen, you're going to rush the field on players. If you run into a player, you're going to get thrown.
Did he run into him?
That looked like somebody with a short fuse, run into.
Yeah, he didn't get run into. It was just like they were kind of, wait for the players to get off the field. I got no problem with
wait for them to get off the field.
That's not storming the field if you wait for them to get off the field.
You need to amend that.
This is in Colorado.
You don't have to wait if you don't want to, but if you don't
if you don't want to, you don't wait.
I'm not saying wait. If you don't wait, what I'm saying is then whatever happens to you down there happens to you down there. You're going into a mosh pit. You know, when you go to a mosh pit at a Korn concert and you happen to headbutt somebody else and you're knocked out with a concussion. I mean, you can't get mad at the other guy.
Best and worst of the weekend here on Sean and RJ with the Commercial Free Expressway. And thanks to everyone for the well wishes as the Vanderbilt Commodores take down mighty Bama.
Back.
Back to your Cowboy phone calls at 877-881-1053. Star up, star down for the win in Pittsburgh. Is it actually changing your mind about the Cowboys? We'll do it next. And Marty Smith from ESPN right here on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!